This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Well, hi there. Thanks for joining Cresta in the afternoon. I am Jerry Usher, in for Al today. And I invite you to also join me and my co-host, Debbie Giorgiani, for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern and a replay at midnight Eastern on many of these same EWTN and Ave Maria radio stations. Always enjoy being in for Al for the things that matter most, as they say. And it is one of the, one of the most important radio shows on all of Catholic radio, because Al just does his usual great job of looking at theological issues, spiritual issues, secular issues, cultural issues, always through the lens of the Catholic faith. And today, we're going to be presenting you with a wide variety of conversations. Leading off will be Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and he is going to be talking about, another church in the U.S. has been vandalized, surprise, surprise, a statue of St. Jude at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in the Archdiocese of Denver was beheaded this week, and Senator John Kennedy has written a letter to U.S. Attorney General William Barr asking him to address the situation. So Dr. Bunsen will talk about that and a number of other Catholic things in the news going on. Gary Zimak will be with us this hour. He is going to be talking about overcoming anxiety and finding peace in Jesus, and that is very, very important with all of the things that are going on in the world right now. And we're celebrating the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe on the vigil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary tomorrow. And we all know a little bit about St. Maximilian Kolbe, but who was the saint behind it, the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe? We'll look at his life and teachings with Father Benedict LaVolpe. He is rector of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. So that is all coming your way here in hour number one of Cresta in the afternoon on this Friday. Again, I'm Jerry Usher, in for Al, and we go to the news now with Steve Clark.
Thanks, Jerry. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, August 14th. It's the Feast of Maximilian Kolbe. Today's news is brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance to seniors in need. Learn more at visitingangels.com. Denver's Archbishop is praying for those who beheaded the statue of a saint outside a local parish. Archbishop Samuel Aquila told the Catholic news agency he's praying for the conversion of the vandals after a statue of St. Jude was beheaded in the courtyard of Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish over the weekend. Aquila said the diocese is praying for everyone who has carried out acts of desecration against Catholic churches, statues, and religious symbols. More than a third of Americans say they will not get the coronavirus vaccine once it's released to the public. According to a new poll from NPR and PBS NewsHour, 35% of respondents said they won't get the vaccine, 60% said they would, and 5% said they were unsure. Francis Collins of the National Institutes of Health has stressed the importance of getting vaccinated. We'll look at the latest vaccine developments in the second hour of today's program. President Trump's senior advisor Jared Kushner suggests other Israeli-Arab peace deals are in the works. He suggests a deal with Saudi Arabia may even be on the table.
Israel is not their enemy. Israel is a country that can provide a lot of solutions technologically, agriculturally, security-wise. And so I do think they see that there's much more to be gained by partnering with Israel than by having this non-relationship that's existed for far too long.
He added that Saudi Arabia has given more rights to women and relaxed guardianship rules while the U.S. has been working with them. Still, he would not say a deal with Saudi Arabia was definitively imminent. And Epic Games is suing Apple after it removed Fortnite from the App Store. In the game's latest update, players are allowed to purchase in-game currency through the app directly and not through Apple. This violated Apple's payment method terms. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
And again, thanks for being with us here on Cresta in the Afternoon. I am Jerry Usher, blessed to be in for Al. A lot to talk about today, and I'm going to find some time to update you on the Million Rosary March. There's also a 54-day novena beginning today, I think, or maybe tomorrow, on the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For our country, for our nation, for the world. A lot of people are ramping up their prayer lives, and we all really need to be doing that today. And some of the reasons for that we're going to talk about right now. Dr. Matthew Bunsen is Executive Editor and Washington Bureau Chief for EWTN News and a Senior Fellow at St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He's the author or co-author of more than 50 books, including the first English-language biography of Pope Francis and the Encyclopedia of Catholic History. You can follow him on Twitter, at at Matt Bunsen, and he is on Register Radio that airs Saturdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, welcome back to Crest in the Afternoon.
Oh, always great to be with you, and I'm also honored to call you a friend.
Yeah, I was going to say these opportunities, unfortunately, are fewer and further between than they used to be, but always blessed to see when I fill in for Al that you and other great folks like you are on the broadcast here today. So, let's begin with this Denver situation, Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish. A statue of St. Jude was beheaded, and, of course, Senator John Kennedy has written a letter to U.S. Attorney General William Barr asking him to address the situation. And Senator Kennedy made the comment, Catholics are under attack in America. I'm sure you probably concur with that.
I would. And it's the Catholic churches, Catholic images, Catholic statues. It follows, and we can talk about some of the reasons for this, but we're looking at an atmosphere right now that is increasingly very hostile to Catholic institutions and Catholic churches, Catholic buildings, and Catholic imagery in culture, which I think is one of the things in a way, too, that rests under some of this antagonism. And as you note, the Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana said that the trend of desecrating Catholic spaces and property must stop, which is why he wrote U.S. Attorney General William Barr.
Yeah, would you say, Matthew, or what do you think about this hypothesis here? I mean, people are running around toppling secular statues, you know, Confederate statues, any statue they can sort of get their hands on. Do you think this is just an extension of that, or do you think this is maybe a more explicit anti-Catholicism that we're seeing?
Well, I think we have to always be careful about overgeneralizing some of the motives and why this is happening as it is right now. I think let's go back a little ways and remember that Catholic churches and statues have been attacked, not with this frequency, but they have been attacked over the last 5-6 years in different places across the United States, and certainly across Europe, in particular in France, where dozens, if not we're stretching down to hundreds of attacks on churches and cemeteries and statues have been taking place for some time. What we're seeing right now, I think, is the two things. The first is there are people who are using the pretext of tearing down or removing some of the controversial statues that we're seeing, for example, with the Confederate statues here and there, but they're also using these for their own purposes to extend this war into an attack on the Catholic Church. So we're seeing the statues, for example, of St. Junipero Serra toppled and set fire in the California missions. We're seeing the famous video of his statue being toppled in Golden Gate Park. That was part of a wider mass attack on Golden Gate Park and its statues, including attacks on Ulysses S. Grant statue and Miguel de Cervantes, the attacks on those statues sort of speak for themselves. But then we have other people, I think, who are reacting to this climate, this atmosphere of increasing intolerance toward religion and the Catholicism in particular, and they're picking up some of this hostility and they're acting out on it. For example, the church in Ocala, Florida, that was set fire while parishioners were actually inside preparing for morning mass. He was, allegedly anyway, someone who is suffering from mental illness. So there are a lot of different reasons why these attacks are happening, but unquestionably they are happening in great frequency.
Yeah, and Archbishop Samuel Aquila of Denver, a fine man, we know him well. He has asked people to pray for the conversion of those who committed the desecration. Dr. Bunsen, praying for those who are doing these kinds of things is maybe not the first thing that would come to our minds, but we should really be committed to this because with God, all things are possible and God wills the salvation of all. Talk about just, you know, the importance of praying for all of the people who are performing these desecrations.
Well, that's right. I think for a couple of different reasons. First, there is the necessity, the dire need for prayer, as Archbishop Aquila said, for the conversion of those who are carrying out these attacks of desecration against our churches, statues, and religious symbols. Whatever the motive that might be driving them to do these things, clearly these are people in need of our prayer because they are in need of personal conversion. They're also in need of a deeper understanding. But then there's also, at a time like this where we have had the nation in the middle of a pandemic and then going through what has been a very difficult summer in the wake of the death of George Floyd and the protests that have followed of people really struggling in the United States economically from the pandemic, and now we're looking at civil and political unrest and deep questions for American culture, society, and life, that now more than ever, we need the power of prayer. We need the power of the daily rosary. We need the intercession of the saints to bring to the country the kind of healing and reunification of us as a culture and an understanding of the common good. And that's where I think the Catholic Church has to play such a powerful and essential role in culture, which is, I think, also brings us back to one of the reasons why we're under attack by those people who really do not want us participating in culture today.
Right. Cresta, in the afternoon on this Friday, I am Jerry Usher in for Al. Dr. Matthew Bunsen is our guest. We're talking about Catholic things, issues in the news, concerns that we have. Let's talk a little bit about this Philadelphia statement that has just come out regarding hate speech. Give our listeners a little bit of a snapshot of what that is and who some of the people who signed on to that are.
Well, this is a really interesting document that was released just a few days ago, and it's called the Philadelphia document because it was released in sort of the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish as a country. And signatories on it are calling for the kind of civil discourse that we need for America. And among probably the two most prominent signatories of it are Archbishop Emeritus from Philadelphia, Charles Chaput, as well as Princeton Law Professor Robert George. And they make a couple of very key points. And the one is, I'll read you the very first, one of the first elements of this, is that we want, and to be true to ourselves, we need to be a nation in which we and our fellow citizens of many different faiths, philosophies, and persuasions can speak their minds and honor their deepest convictions without fear of punishment and retaliation. I mean, essentially what they're talking about is what increasingly is called the cancel culture. And that is really impinging, but also creating, we were just talking about the atmosphere that leads to attacks on the Catholic Church. What this also does is to destroy the ability to have civil engagement, conscious respect, and conscientious respect for the convictions and thoughts of other people. And a very quick and easy way to dismiss the credibility of people with whom you disagree. And it's an important document, I think, because it comes on the heels of some recent letters as well that have been published even by some progressive writers who are worried about where this kind of lack of civil discourse is leading us.
A couple of other quick items I wanted to touch upon while we have you here in the last about three or three and a half minutes. There was a story that came out of Portland, Oregon. Of course, it's been chaos up there and anarchy since, well, not just the recent weeks, but I was a seminarian in the Archdiocese there back in the late 80s, early 90s, and anarchists were very present at that time as well. But there was a story that came out that a, quote, a stack of Bibles had been burned. That was kind of found out to be not necessarily true, but actually in one of the fires, I guess somebody did discover that a couple of Bibles were actually burned on one of those fires there.
That's right. So this is a story that began circulating right around the 1st of August, and the impression was given, certainly from the initial reporting, that there was a kind of large-scale burning of Bibles in Portland. Now, I don't think this came as a huge surprise, that things like religious texts, and in particular the Bible, might be burned by some of the protesters in Portland. As you know, Portland has become a real flashpoint and one of the centers of the recent political unrest. Organizations like Antifa and others have really made it a point to protest, to march, often violently. So this story then got legs very quickly. what then became, as is often the case with this, and I, as you know, Jerry, I'm not a big fan of the term fake news because I think it's now thrown around with such frequency. But the question was asked, is this actually fake news? And so we had some analysis by the New York Times. I would actually encourage everyone to go to the Catholic News Agency because I think they understand the significance of burning Bibles for Catholic readers, for people of faith. And so they looked at this very objectively, and what they found was that a stack of Bibles was not actually burned. So this wasn't the kind of mass burning of Bibles that we have seen elsewhere in history, certainly as a hallmark of Nazi Germany. But it's pretty clear that at least two Bibles were burned in the streets of Portland. It was live streamed. So there are undisputable facts relating to the burning, but I think it also points to some of the deeper questions of what's at work in some of these protests, and we keep coming back to the attacks on statues and religious imagery that we're seeing more and more in culture.
Right. Well, we are going to have to leave the other item that I wanted to talk about for another time, but I actually plan to address it a little bit later on, and that is good news. The Diocese of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, has lifted the dispensation of the Sunday obligation for Catholics to go to Mass, and the obligation has been reimposed for those who aren't at risk. Those who are, you know, those who are at risk can stay home. Those who are taking care of them can also be dispensed as well. But maybe that's a step forward in the right direction for all of us. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, tell us about where people can find you online and on the radio.
Well, you can find me online at Matt Bunsen on Twitter, and you can also find me at WTNnews.com. And it's always a joy to be with you, Jerry.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And with everything going on in the world right now, mental health, brain health, young people, old people, and everyone in between, having a lot of problems. We're going to talk to Gary Zimak about overcoming anxiety and stress up next.
When a U.S. Catholic hears the word mission, they envision priests, brothers, and sisters in foreign countries. Father William Bishop, founder of Glenmary Home Missioners, realized that vast regions of our own country, primarily Appalachia and the South, were in need of Catholic missionaries too. Glenmary is a Catholic community of priests, brothers, sisters, and lay missioners serving Mission Land USA. Come and see if God is calling you to be a Glenmary missioner. For more information, visit glenmary.org. That's glenmary.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio with a very important message to Catholic families. If you've been told that Catholic education is non-essential or that homeschooling is harmful, don't believe it. Catholic education is essential for forming solid citizens of both the earthly and the heavenly kingdoms. And parents are the first and primary educators given that role by God. If your schools and jobs are shut down as being allegedly non-essential, here's how to turn that to your family's advantage. Your high school students can get an outstanding Catholic education online with 75 college credits and a fully accredited associate's degree by 12th grade, saving your family over $100,000 in college costs. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. For just $3,500 a year, they can earn 75 college credits in high school, then earn their accredited BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
How can parents raise faithful kids in a faithless world? A 50-year study of over 3,500 people found that the degree of parental warmth kids experience in religious households was the single biggest factor in determining whether children would become faithful adults. As I summarize in my book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, children are most likely to become faithful adults when they've experienced the faith as the source of the warmth in their homes. The same study found that rates of faith retention in kids skyrocketed when religious dads took point on practices that contributed to a warm, faithful household. household. Things like generous affection, maintaining strong family rituals, and gentle approaches to discipline. God created parents to give kids a physical sign of His love. The more warmth our kids experience in our presence, the more warmly they'll feel toward the God who loves them through us. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Be a blessing to your neighbors in need through your gift to Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan. Together we can change the faces of despair, loneliness, hunger, and addiction, one blessing at a time. As the charitable arm for the corporal works of mercy throughout the Archdiocese of Detroit, Catholic Charities exists to provide the services that make a difference in the lives of over 20,000 people each and every year in Southeast Michigan. So how would you like to bless your neighbor today? Visit ccsem.org/donate to choose your involvement.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Thank you so much for being with us here today on Cresta in the Afternoon. Jerry Usher filling in for Al. My thanks again to Dr. Matthew Bunsen. And we're going to shift gears a little bit in this segment and talk about some very alarming things, some very important things, but also some hopeful things as well. And what I'm referring to is that, people of all ages right now are struggling in many ways, not only economically and in so many other ways, the whole issues surrounding school, whether they're going back to school or not, whether they're going to play sports or not, but a lot of people experiencing mental health issues. In fact, a report from the CDC indicates that one in four young adults have contemplated committing suicide in the past month because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, you couple that with a tumultuous election season, an unpredictable school year, and the absence of normal distractions, like I said, sports and festivals, and these times can be stressful indeed. And we're going to discuss overcoming anxiety and finding peace in Jesus with Gary Zimak, the author of several books, including a brand new one that has coming out. We're going to talk to him about that. He's a frequent speaker at parishes and conferences across the country, and is recognized as a leading Catholic speaker on the topic of overcoming anxiety. Gary, good to have you with me on the show. How are you?
I am well, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise. I love your work, by the way, and you're doing very important work. Talk about, what I just mentioned, that report from the CDC. I'm sure you are very well aware that, suicides are up. You've got domestic violence. You've got sexual abuse going on at homes, alcoholism, drug addiction. A lot of this stuff is going on right now as a result of everything going on culturally.
Jerry, this pandemic, it absolutely blinded us. It blindsided us, I should say. We didn't expect this. We thought we were in control, but we're realizing now, if we had any thought that we are in control of our lives, we realize now that we don't, that the Lord is in charge. He's it. He's all we got. And it is affecting people in ways that hit very close to home with me. My own wife has struggled over the past few months with terrible COVID-related anxiety. And, the good thing is she's drawing closer to Jesus through it. We're working together. But, boy, has it been tough, especially when we can't see an end in sight.
Right. Well, you, like I mentioned, you're really a leading speaker on anxiety and stress and overcoming fear and so forth. I mean, this really flows out of your own lived experience, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It does, Jerry. I am someone who has struggled with anxiety throughout my life, panic attacks, stomach troubles, heart palpitations, you name it, I've had it. And I'm always going to have this tendency to be anxious. And that's why I just find it so incredible that the Lord would choose me to work through. But I think the reason He does that and the reason so many people find my work effective and helpful is because they know I know what it's like. I'm in their shoes. I'm one of those guys who tends to think worst case at all times. But, Jerry, you know my story. I pretty much live at peace now as long as I keep in touch with Jesus and let the Holy Spirit work through me.
Talk about that, staying in touch with Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit work through you, because you have come to a, really, I think, a beautiful place in your own life, and you said your wife is growing closer to God through this difficult challenge that she's going through. This is a very hopeful message that you have to share with people.
Mm-hmm. It is, because what happens now, when we realize that the Lord is in charge, and he's still on the throne, then nothing can take away our peace. But, Jerry, I feel it happening. I stay away from the news. I watch it, you know, minimally to see what's going on. But as I look through my social media feeds and I start to see the stories and the predictions and the gloom and doom, I can feel my anxiety rise. And then I open my Bible, I start to pray, I go to daily mass, and I stay connected with Jesus. And I just feel this hope. Because he is the Prince of Peace. And when you hang out with him, when you walk with him every day and stay connected to him, then you're unaffected by what's going on in the world. And Jerry, sometimes I look at the news and I think, man, this looks really bad. But then I redirect, I refocus. You know, I'm Peter walking on the water and I begin to sink and I get my eyes back on Jesus and I cry out, Lord, save me. And then I feel his hand grab me. You know, and that's the secret. But I still have that tendency to be an anxious person, and I have to be careful about that.
Well, you've touched upon something that I could go on and on about, and that's the news and so much of what we're seeing in the media right now, which is just, you know, one story after another, fear, violence, hate, and then they get the happy piece at the end to make you feel good, you know, when the newscast ends. But I wanted to... You mentioned social media, and I don't know why this happened, Gary, but about 18 months ago, I just sensed in my spirit that I should get off of social media. I still have my accounts, but I really just stopped doing anything on social media, and I thank God for that, because it has become, even for many Catholics we respect, it's become this toxic cesspool of fighting, bickering, going back and forth. It's really ugly to me, I think.
Jerry, I talked about this on my daily podcast today, this bickering, this fighting, this arguing, this division that occurs between Catholics and between Catholics and evangelicals and between Catholics and atheists. I mean, we have become so nasty that I just can't believe it sometimes. You know, we got to work together here. This is really upsetting Jesus. And that's what I said on my podcast today. This is upsetting Jesus when we get like this. We have to be careful. A lot of times we have good, the best of intentions, but boy, I see such nastiness, and it really upsets me. Now, I'm still on social media, and I use it extensively for evangelization, but I was talking about my wife, and she has no problem with me mentioning this. I'll see her demeanor change, and all of a sudden she'll be looking at Facebook, and I'll just say, okay, what did you read? And it's amazing the effect that this stuff has on us.
Yeah, it really is. Well, as we're several months into this now, have you seen trends in any particular direction in terms of people dealing with, you know, coping with the stress and anxiety of the, you know, the coronavirus, the economic downturn, the job losses? Have you seen any trends in any particular direction?
You know, I can speak for my own household. We are becoming closer together to one another and to God, because we're praying more together. But I see people getting frustrated. I see people getting impatient. And unfortunately, I see some people still not recognizing that now's the time to turn to God and realize he's trying to get our attention. But not everybody's getting that message. And, Jerry, when I hear commentators say, when this passes and going to happen and that happens, the only way this thing's going to be over is if God says it's going to be over. And I think we all need to recognize that. It's helping me, because I am very aware of my own mortality now. Even I was fooled a little bit. You know, I took for granted the fact that I could go to daily mass. All of a sudden, I couldn't. And, Jerry, I'll tell you, now that I can, boy, do I appreciate it. So I think that idea of taking things for granted, I'm noticing many people are realizing that they took things for granted and are learning from this experience. But I'm seeing the financial impact. You know, I made the bulk of my income from speaking. All of my talks were canceled. Fortunately, I have some writing projects, but my fellow Catholic speakers are taking a hit right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, it's been a real tough time for many, many people, and we pray certainly for your situation and all of the great Catholic speakers who travel around and basically make their living doing that. Now, you've got a number of books out. I want to make sure I have your latest one correct. Is your latest one Let Go of Anger and Stress?
Yep, that's going to be coming out in just about a month. It's pre-orderable now. It's a book about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which, Jerry, is the secret. The Holy Spirit working through us is going to give us that peace that we need.
Yeah, take us inside the book a little bit and some of the things that you like to focus on there that would be helpful for people.
Well, Jerry, what I did was I could never find too many books listing all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. A lot of books about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I thought, let's look at the end product, what Jesus looked like and what he wants us to look like. And as detailed by St. Paul, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the peace, the joy, the love, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. I mean, can you imagine a life lived like that? And that's what the Holy Spirit's purpose is. That's why Jesus sent us the Spirit. So I do a chapter on each one of these fruits, and I suggest ways to manifest these fruits in our life. Because, Jerry, the problem with so many of us, we try to follow Christ just by willpower alone. That's like trying to drive a car without using the power steering. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. So that prayer, come Holy Spirit, is throughout the book. And I found that's the secret, brother, letting the Holy Spirit work in me. I get that peace, and I'm able to love like Jesus wants me to love.
And talk about the importance of prayer, too. And I know, because I know a lot of people take your books and make them part of their prayer time. Yes. But those who are not spending dedicated time in prayer every day, I encourage them strongly to do so now more than ever. I'm sure you probably would feel the same way about that.
It is a must, Jerry. I start my day off with prayer. And I would say to anybody listening, make it a conscious effort to go away, to go to another room, go outside, go in your car, just like Jesus did. He made time to pray. Doesn't even matter what you say. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Give me what I need. You know, sometimes we get hung up on the words. Prayer is part of our relationship with God, and we have to stay connected. So I pray first thing in the morning for a good amount of time. I go to Mass. My wife and I pray together. And throughout the day, as a family, we say some prayers, and I'm talking to the Lord constantly. Yeah, I can't do it without him. We need him. We need to remain connected to the vine. Otherwise, we're going to fall apart. We need to stay attached to Jesus, and that's what prayer does for us.
Yeah, and I know there may be some people listening right now saying, well, Gary, that's fine for you because you work at home, you're a writer, you got a flexible schedule. You know, the mother of eight right now listening is probably – but the thing is, we can make our lives a prayer, everything that we do. So many of the saints have talked about that.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I do recommend whenever you can, try to get that time by yourself. Whatever.
Sure.
Somebody said I'd pray in the bathroom, but I, you know, I've heard that.
Right.
Whenever you have that time. But, yeah, make your life a prayer. Morning offering is a great thing. Lord, I offer you everything I do today. It's all yours. And, you know, then your life becomes prayer. And but it's important that we pray.
Well, real quick again, you said your book is available for pre-order. It is Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. Where can people pre-order that now?
The easiest place, Jerry, is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, and I have links from there to Amazon where it can be pre-ordered.
Awesome. Gary Zimak, thank you so much for your time, but even more than that, for the fine work that you're doing, and give our blessings to your wife and your family as well, and we appreciate you joining us here on the program. Great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you, Jerry. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Keep Gary in your prayers. And again, as you mentioned, all of the Catholic speakers right now, a lot of people are trying to do things virtually with these online conferences and so forth. And they're bearing a lot of fruit, but nothing really takes the place of having a speaker come out for a Lenten mission, an Advent mission, and be right there in front of you and firing you up for your faith. So let's pray for all of them. And let's take a little break here, and we're going to zero in on St. Maximilian Kolbe and the National Shrine of his in Marytown in Illinois. Today's his feast day, and we'll talk with a priest who's the rector and guardian of that shrine in just a few minutes.
Do you have a problem with the IRS? The staff at Compesca Tax Advisors are listeners and proud supporters of Ave Maria Radio. They would like to relieve the burden from your shoulders of dealing with the IRS.
They'll also donate 10% of their fee to a pro-life charity if you mention this ad when you call. Don't deal with the IRS on your own. Call Compesca Tax Advisors at 800-351-3588 today and sleep better tonight. Stop the IRS freight train by calling 800-351-3588 today. Come join the sacred events at historic Assumption Grotto Parish in Detroit on the Feast of the Assumption, Saturday, August 15th. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass will be offered throughout the day, including a 7 p.m. solemn Latin High Mass in the extraordinary form at the Lotus Grotto, followed by a candlelight procession. There will also be confessions and other devotions throughout the day. Please see AssumptionGrotto.com for details and updates. That's AssumptionGrotto.com.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
Are you fully convinced that what God has promised He is able to do in your life and in your family? If you're not convinced, you need to ask God, increase my faith, help me to grow in faith. Brothers and sisters, it's essential. The world around us is becoming more topsy-turvy. It's lost its moorings. We're not anchored in the truth. So take a look at yourself and say, where am I fuzzy in this area, or where am I definitely off track? You don't have to despair. You just need to say, all right, I see it. I'm going to turn to you, Lord, and ask that you would give me faith that I may see more clearly what's the right course to take. What are the right priorities to stand on? God is in Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection made your life eternally possible. It validates your life. You are worth something. No matter how deep of a sinner we are or how great of a sinner we are, if we hear the grace of God and respond to it and return, our life is infinitely valuable.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey. Weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Welcome back to Crested in the Afternoon. Our thanks again to Gary Zimak in the last segment and Dr. Matthew Bunsen before that. I'm Jerry Usher with you today in for Al, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, heard at noon and midnight on many of these same EWTN and Ave Maria radio stations. And many, many people gearing up for the great feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven tomorrow. But in anticipation of that, we have a discussion about a great devotee of Our Lady who also is himself a saint, St. Maximilian Kolbe, whose feast day is today. Many of us know the basic story about St. Maximilian Kolbe, but we're going to look at his life and teachings with Father Benedict LaVolpe. He's the rector of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois. Father Benedict, welcome to Crested in the Afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for being with us. This is a great story. Many people know of St. Maximilian, you know, giving his life for the man who had children and in the concentration camp. But let's go way back and talk about, you know, young Maximilian's background, where he grew up and what his early family life was like.
Well, that's a very good question, because a lot of people always focus right at the end of Maximilian's life, you know, in the moment he gave his life for another in Auschwitz. So it's good for us to look at the beginning of his life. You know, he was born in 1894 in Jutska Wola, a really industrial town near Łódź in Poland. At the time, it was part of the Russian Empire. So that was sort of the upbringing that Maximilian had, with a very devout parents who loved the church and would take, of course, young Raymond. His name was Raymond. To mass. One of the beautiful episodes we know of Maximilian's childhood is one day when he was praying in church to the Blessed Mother, the Immaculata, as he always referred to her, and basically he asked her, you know, what is to become of me? The Blessed Mother appeared to him and offered him two crowns, a red crown for martyrdom and a white crown of purity. And the Blessed Mother said to Maximilian, "Which do you choose?" And he quite audaciously said, "I choose both." And indeed, lived both. Lived the life of purity as a conventual Franciscan friar and a priest of Jesus Christ, and then his martyrdom, which he gave, you know, giving his life for another, as our loving Savior reminds us in St. John's Gospel. So that was his childhood. You know, a brilliant young man. He excelled in what we now call, you know, the STEM subjects, you know, science and technology. He had a great love for that part of learning. He was sent to Rome with the friars at a very young age and studied at our faculty there in Rome, excelled in his studies. He had a doctorate in both philosophy and theology. Of course, it was his time in Rome that he really wanted to fight the indifferentism that he could see that was very prevalent in Rome at the time. You know, the indifferentism, especially in the growing Masonic movement in Rome. And at that time, even though he was only a young friar himself, founded the Militia Immaculata, or the Militia of Mary Immaculate, the Army of Mary Immaculate. And the weapon of the militia was the miraculous medal. Him and just six other friars sat down one evening in the convent there, in the friary in Rome, and started this worldwide movement, which we have to this very day.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I love the story of the two crowns. I'm glad you reiterated that for us. And what about his call to the priesthood? Was there anything extraordinary about that, or was that fairly, you know, he just discerned and prayed and drew closer to God and sensed that was what his vocation was?
Yeah, I mean, more or less. I mean, I think he had met the friars who were doing parish missions at the time and was quite captivated by their life. You know, he entered the order very early, you know, so he went to what we now call, you know, minor seminary. So he entered the order at a very young age. Actually, one of his brothers also entered with him, Alphonse. He entered religious life very early. And you know, as it was for young men at that age, that was a sort of natural progression of studying and then going on to the priesthood. But, you know, his whole priesthood was a great understanding of being a priest of Jesus Christ, but truly a son of the Blessed Mother as well.
You're tuned in to Crested in the Afternoon. I'm Jerry Usher, in for Al. In this segment of the program, we are talking about St. Maximilian Kolbe. Today is his feast day, of course, and our guest is Father Benedict LaVolpe. He is rector of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe in Libertyville, Illinois. Talk about his devotion to the Blessed Mother. You have already, but you know, this really permeated his entire life and his entire priesthood. His whole mission was really to make her known, to glorify her son, Jesus Christ. Talk about that.
Yes, well, you know, when we speak about Maximilian and his devotion to the Blessed Mother, I mean, not to make light of it, but it wasn't just simple devotion. He had a great personal, you know, theology, and he worked a great theology regarding the Blessed Mother, especially her role as mediatrix. It was something that he had worked on in his many letters and writings, which we have to this very day. So he had a great theology when it came to the Blessed Mother, and also her role as co-redemptrix as well. Titles that we sort of shy away from a little bit now, but he had a very good and mature understanding of this. So, you know, for Maximilian, everything was done in a very sort of St. Louis Grignon de Montfort kind of way. Everything was done through Our Lady's hands. He never separated, in a very, you know, correct way. He never separated the role of the Blessed Mother in salvation history from her son's great role in salvation history. In other words, Maximilian's understanding it was always that alongside the Sacred Heart of Jesus is always the Immaculate Heart. It's not an optional extra, but it is something that is given to us as a gift and to be used in the building up of the kingdom of God.
Well, you mentioned his knack for science and technology, and of course, many people know, some people do not know, how he tried to, you know, make use of every form of technology that was available to us at that time. You know, talk about his, indeed, you know, use of, you know, printing and just the different means of technology that he sought to use to get the message out.
Yes, so, you know, after his time in Rome, he was sent back to Poland, and he went back to Poland in 1919. And he started a friary in near Warsaw, which he called Niepokalana, which means City of the Immaculate, which is why where I live here, the National Shrine is called Marytown as well, after the City of the Immaculate. And from day one, he was very clever and very audacious as well in using the best and the most advanced technology of his time in the printing press, because he really did see the great power of the written word when it came to evangelization. So he was, you know, really ahead of his game at that time. And, you know, he went to Japan a few years later as a missionary. And interestingly enough, within, I think, the first week he was in Japan, he was able to do the very same thing and have the Immaculata magazine written in Japanese, even though he didn't know any Japanese himself, but in Japanese characters to begin the great use of mass media there in Japan, which was quite unheard of at his time in Japan. So, you know, he was very clever, and he didn't shy away from what we would now call modern technology when it came to the printing press.
Well, yeah, and let's talk a little bit, you know, more kind of expound upon his martyrdom. I guess it was, 1939, the Nazis overran Poland. And,
yes, the Crystal Mass, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, his great act of charity in 1941, offering to take the place of a man condemned to die in reprisal for an escaped prisoner. And his offer was accepted. This martyrdom certainly did not, wasn't a spontaneous act just on the moment. This was a fruit of a life lived in charity and love of Christ.
Indeed. And, again, it was another sign of his great work against the indifferentism that he could, you know, see in every step of his life. You know, he could see that the whole Nazi and then, of course, communist movement was very much a movement of indifferentism, which would break the bonds of communion. So, you know, he had that opportunity at that fateful night in July of 1941, where I think it was one or two prisoners were unaccounted for, and therefore 10 were chosen in retaliation by the commandant to be starved to death. One of the men chosen was Franciszek Gołaniczek, who was actually there present in 1982 at his canonization, who cried out, you know, my wife, my children. And Maximilian, seeing that, he stepped forward, which was incredibly brave when you think about it, stepped forward, and the commandant said to him, "Who are you?" And Maximilian's only and simple words were, "I am a Catholic priest." So he was taken instead of Franciszek Gołaniczek. Again, when you think about it, is a miracle that they would actually then, you know, swap the two. They were sent to Maximilian, and the other nine who were chosen were sent to a starvation bunker. I mean, in that time, many were already starving, and so it didn't take long for them to die. Maximilian was actually in a starvation bunker for close to 2 weeks when on the evening of August 14, the vigil of the Assumption, the commandant came in and gave an injection of carbolic acid, ending his life. It was the very next day that he was, of course, cremated on the feast day of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. You know, the Immaculata was with Maximilian all through his childhood, all through his life as a friar and priest, and then at the moment of his death as well.
Absolutely beautiful story. And of course, in 1982, St. John Paul II canonized him as a martyr of charity. And Father, Pope John Paul at the time called him the patron of our difficult century. And we're certainly having our share of difficulties in this century as well. How can St. Maximilian speak to us today and be of help to us from his heavenly home?
Indeed. Well, you know, one of the beautiful lines of Maximilian, actually we read in the opposite readings this morning, if I could just quote it very quickly. It says, he wrote, this is back in 1931, "We see with sorrow that an epidemic of indifferentism in various forms is spreading in our times, not merely among people in the world, but even among religious." Now, what a prophecy. He could have easily been writing that statement in 2020. And I think the one thing that Maximilian Kolbe can teach us today is something that even Pope Benedict, right at the beginning of his papacy, you know, spoke about, the error of relativism, and that is, of course, to fight against this indifferentism. But it's not just in the world, but in our very church as well. How many Catholics are indifferent to their faith, indifferent to the role of the Blessed Mother in their lives, indifferent to the sacraments? Of course, COVID has only accentuated that indifferentism, unfortunately. But we look to Maximilian as a very courageous character in showing us how we really need to fight against that indifferentism, because that indifferentism can take us to a very dark place. At the time of Maximilian, it was the rise of Nazism. In our time, of course, it's the rise of paganism, secularism, and, of course, the dark forces against the church as well.
Right. Well, I'll give you 30 seconds, Father. Tell our listeners how they can learn more on your beautiful website and come see this fantastic shrine in Libertyville.
Well, this is a wonderful shrine we have here in Libertyville, right next door to Mundelein Seminary. We have had perpetual adoration here since 1928 when the Benedictine sisters first arrived here. Even during COVID, the friars kept perpetual adoration on their own 24/7. It's the most beautiful shrine. We have our website at kolbeshrine.org, K-O-L-B-E, kolbeshrine, all one word, .org. And from the website, you can see our hours, how to get here, and we're on all sorts of social media. Just putting Kolbe Shrine or Marytown, and you'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all sorts of other places as well.
Fantastic. Father Benedict, thank you so much. Very, very uplifting and inspiring conversation. I wish we had more time, but the Lord bless you and your ministry. Thank you so much, Father, for being with us.
And you too. Thank you. God bless you. May the Immaculata hold you close in her heart.
I'll take it. ColbeShrine.org, again, is the website there for the St. Maximilian Kolbe National Shrine at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois. I'm Jerry Usher, in for Al Cresta. So good to have you with us. We've got another short segment and then a full hour yet to come, so hope you can stick around.
My thanks again to all of our sustaining members, of course our brand new members, and those who have recently renewed membership as we go about this work of the new evangelization, Catherine in South Lyon, Michigan, in fact, everybody from Michigan, Diane in Clinton Township, Eileen in Novi, Daniel and Tracy in Canton, and Mark in Swartz Creek. Thank you. And let me invite the rest of you, too, to join us and make sure that you are carrying out the missionary mandate of the Catholic Church by going to AveMariaRadio.net and hit the donate button.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
The Archdiocese of Detroit Cemeteries would like to invite you to three of our locations to participate in our annual St. John Vianney Volunteer Cleaning Day, Saturday, August 15th, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 12 noon. Please join our faith community as we honor our beloved deceased by cleaning headstones at three of our locations, Holy Sepulchre in Southfield, Our Lady of Hope in Brownstown, and St. Joseph Cemetery in Monroe. Refreshments will be served. For more information, please call 248-350-1900.
This program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit St. Paul Street Evangelization. St. John Paul II stated that for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation. So we know we're called, but how do we do it? St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Thanks for being along for part or all of Cresta in the Afternoon today. I'm Jerry Usher in for Al. I want to bring something very important to your attention. It is the Million Rosary March, and it is consists of men and women who want to unite in the love of God and to take a stand for all of our brothers and sisters in our nation. The commitment is daily praying of 5 decades of the Most Holy Rosary with a special intention for a greater love of the Blessed Sacrament. Number 2, fasting every Friday in some form of reparation and atonement to the Eucharistic Lord. And number 3, devoting 1 hour per month in Eucharistic adoration for the souls of the departed of all Americans throughout history, either in person, if possible, you can get to an adoration chapel, or online. So if you want to learn more about this Million Rosary March, log on to the website, which is very simply millionrosarymarch.com. Right there on the homepage, you will see a welcome video of about a little less than 3 minutes duration by Dr. Scott Hahn, professor of Franciscan University of Steubenville. The United States of America is engulfed in a battle of good versus evil right now, folks, like never before, and thousands of Catholics are committing to pray the Rosary for 100 days. Will you join them? Again, it's millionrosarymarch.com. I really believe that these are very manageable commitments that they're asking you to make. Again, praying the Rosary 5 decades every day, fasting every Friday, and a month of Eucharistic adoration. So consider that, if you would, and the website again is millionrosarymarch.com. Got another full hour, some great segments coming up on Cresta in the Afternoon. Don't go away.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.